Question for you. Would you rather pay $150 a month or $15 a month to work out with the same high-quality gym equipment? At Planet Fitness, you can get top-tier equipment for $15 a month. Plus, save $28 or more when you join now during our Strong Choice Sale. Our weights weigh the same, you just don't pay the same. Enjoy free fitness training and 24-hour access at most clubs, all in the judgment-free zone. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime. Deal ends October 10th. See club for details.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links.
Most people are happy with better treatment at the plantation versus being free. So we're not actually seeking a higher quality of dimension of self. We don't really want full control. Most people want to be controlled. Right? Most people are seeking somebody to manage their lives because freedom comes with a lot of responsibility and a lot of accountability. There's a lot of culture wars that's going on, right? There's a lot of him versus her that's going on. And this is because of a lack of imbalance of, number one, understanding self and understanding each other, and a lack of connection to God. All throughout the planet Earth, I believe that we're going through shifts. And these are shifts of identity. These are shifts of who we want to be, who we think we are. But when we dial that down to the micro and we think about how we can manage our own lives and the control that we can have over our own lives, that's truly only going to come from a perspective of knowledge of self, knowing who you are. So therefore, nobody can use what you don't know against you. Now, there are certain people who have mastered the game. They walk this planet Earth and maybe look like you, maybe a little flyer than you. But they understand the human mind, and they understand larger society. Sometimes you see it in politicians. They know the way of the crowd. They don't speak to the logic of the crowd. They speak to the emotions and the desire of the crowd because they study the psychology and understand the philosophy that's behind it. There was a philosopher by the name of Nietzsche who talked about the will to power. And the will to power speaks upon man's ability to control others and the traits that's required in order to employ that control over others. Now, the will to power that society should have should come with enlightening oneself. When we look at what's going on economically, it's bad. We're looking at the mental health crisis, it's bad. Even these ideas and ideologies and identities that we have around sex, that we have around life, most of them are all backwards. Most people are not living accordingly to a particular free will. They're living to their desires, and they end up becoming a slave to it. Me growing up in Oakland, California, I seen this firsthand, right? I seen growing up as a child. I remember being on, Fruitville, they had it out there, where I seen the dark side, right, of humanity. Young women that I thought were just regular women at first, right? And then when you take a closer look, you can see that there was an economic necessity that they had to sell their body. And then they needed management, so there was somebody that was there. And then I've learned the different sides of it, how it can go left, how it can go right. Then this becomes our culture, a culture that we sell, a culture that we exploit. But I recently been having this conversation about the best of us should represent the rest of us. But currently, it's the lowest of us that they're showing of us. So therefore, we don't have a culture that is based on aspiration, becoming more. We have one that's based on ambition, gaining more. But the way that we gain is not always in alignment with what we want to become. There's a sacrifice of virtues, a sacrifice of values, a sacrifice of morals. Now, growing up and knowing that you are God, there are certain things that you won't sacrifice. People point to the 70s all the time and be like, well, you know, we did these type of things in the 70s, how we dressed in the 70s, how we moved in the 70s. Well, when you're a student of history, you got to understand, well, there's a lot of things that started in the 70s. So do we want to stay in the cycle, right? Or do we want to break the cycle? And I think that you need to have people that understand it from a standpoint of experience, right? So today, the person that I have here, I believe he has the necessary experience for firsthand to be able to tell you what it's like to be in the game and get out of the game, right? And to walk above it. To take a dark path and turn that transmutation into light, to give you the game to understand the way that society is being pimped, manipulated, right? And to help you free yourself by teaching you the tactics and the knowledge how to get out of it. So I want to go deep into the philosophy, the psychology, the spiritual, the mythicism aspect of all what it means when it comes to that dark aspect of the world of manipulating and controlling the will of others, and how do we get that will to be free. So today I have none other than Ken Ivy Bay, a man who has been on all sides of the spectrum, and today he comes to deliver some light.
Well, brother, thank you for having me. First of all, I would just like to let people know, for full disclosure, I denounce American Pimp, and I denounce Pimps Up and Hoes Down, which is movies that I believe that was complicit in the problem that Brother 19 Keys is talking about, perpetuating the perception that we are all, you know, pimps, hustlers, drug dealers, et cetera. So that's what I want. And then I also want to, for the ladies out there, I want y'all to understand that I did 10 years in prison. While I was in prison, I did 2 years in solitary confinement. While I was in solitary confinement, I read Malcolm X's autobiography at least 20 times. And that's what really gauged my change. It might have took a little time. I was about 30 before I actually made the transition. But a lot of people understand that Malcolm was a pimp, as I experienced that life as well. Malcolm was also a convict, you know, but y'all love Malcolm. So all I'm saying is if my brother Malcolm can change, then I can change. And that's what I've done. I made that transition. I went from the ghetto streets to the Zeca streets, from the ghetto blocks to the Wall Street stock, from the sewer to an entrepreneur. So my book, The Art of Human Chess, it deals with deception. People say, Ken, why would you do a book on deception? Because I want to teach you, ladies and gentlemen, through this book, The Art of Human Chess, how not to be deceived. A lot of you people walk through society and you say, okay, I ain't with that. But what you do is you risk the chance of being deceived by someone who is with that. So what my book does, and it's in Barnes & Noble, it's all over the world, it's in the self-help book right next to Sun Tzu, right next to Robert Greene, right next to Kiyosaki. It's right there in Barnes & Noble. What my book does, it just wakes you up to the pimping. Uncle Sam, for example, Uncle Sam, every April 15th, he say, break yourself. If you don't break yourself, he puts you up under what we call pimp arrest. And guess what? The money is going to Ukraine and to other initiatives that we've spent every year, April 15, giving our hard-earned dollars to Uncle Sam. And we call him Pimpin' Sam. But, you know, that's another discussion. But for the record, I just wanted to make sure that I clarify that, let people know I'm no longer in the life. You know, when you say my name, don't put a comma, because I'm also an author. I got 2 books. I'm also a businessman. I'm also the founder of the hip-hop fraternity. I'm also the owner of HHF Mag, HHF Radio, HHF Social Media, HHF Awards. So I do a lot of constructive things, but people are shallow-minded and they want to put me in this box. And you know, the only way you pass the IQ test, and those of you who have taken an IQ test, I'm talking about the IQ, it's a little game that they play, a thing that you do and you draw. And when you draw, the only way you get the points is if you got to go outside the box and then come in the box. And that's what life is all about. Sometimes you got to go outside the box. You got to have an out-of-body experience and take yourself out the equation and look at it from another perspective.
I appreciate that. Now that you lay some of the foundation, I want to get into it. You know, can you give me a little bit of your earlier childhood, you know, and your first experiences, right, with pimping, prostitution, sex work, seeing that side of the life.
Right.
Like, what was that moment where you go from, let's say, you know, this innocent child, right, this mind that has not experienced that, for seeing it the first time?
Well, unfortunately, Brother 19 Keys, I was molested at 3 years old by my babysitter.
Mm.
It gave me a strong disdain towards women. Mm. Right. So I didn't want to, you know, I just didn't like women for a minute. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like I hated everything about it. And she was a dark-skinned sister, so I really hated dark-skinned sisters. You know, I see them, I just cringe. And it caused me to have a mental blockage. So I was in special ed. I was in the yellow bus, as they call it, practically my whole life. I was in fights all the time. My head is flat because I used to bump my head against the wall because I was trying to get my mother's attention.
Mm.
So, you know, my daddy, He was from Mississippi, Oxford, Mississippi. He was a player, though. He was a hustler. My daddy shoot cricket dice and all that stuff. He was just a ganged up dude with my Uncle Greasy. And he got caught in Chicago shooting bad dice on the Black Panthers. And the Black Panthers, I was with Brother Fred Hampton Jr. I said, man, you know, y'all beat my daddy up. You know, the Black Panthers beat my daddy up. You know, he came to speak at the hip-hop fraternity.
What they beat him up for?
Because he got caught shooting bad dice.
Oh, okay. Yes,
and, you know, yeah, the Black Panthers shoot dice. You know what I'm saying? So that led me to become, you know, a criminal. So me and my brother, we in Oak Park, Illinois, and my brother pushed somebody off the L. You know, the white dude was calling us niggas. And he pushed him off the L. When he pushed him off the L, the police came. And the first time I experienced police brutality, they beat me up. So now I had a fear for police, you know what I'm saying? And I had a, like, this out against police. I'm like, man, I'm finna be a criminal, right? And that's how that criminal mentality began, because they put me in jail for 3 months, you know, in a grown man jail. I was 14 years old, and that's when I first got introduced to the Moore Science Temple. You know, it was just luckily a brother named Finney, who was Finney Eel, he was a Moore. He just took a liking to my brother, because me and my brother was shy. You know, we were young, but we had the gang, because my father was ganged up, right? And that's how we end up leaving Chicago, because my mother said, oh, no, this ain't going down. So we went to Milwaukee. Then I ended up getting in some more trouble. And then I got in trouble. So when I came out, you know, I ain't going to get too detailed. I came out, you know, to getting in trouble back over and over and over again. I had a partner named JD, Father Divine. He was in the gang. So I went over his house. He had three women there. And he said, man, these are my girls. And, you know, it was like the Mac movie. I was, you know, like, I thought I was in the Mac movie. I said, what is this? You know, I said, man, can I have one? He said, yeah. Which one you want? I said, give me the one that's light, bright, damn near white with the coochie candy stripe. He said, her name was Dirty Red. That's the one you probably read about in my book. So she taught me the game. Then another brother named Star Child, he said, man, this is how you do it. You know, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. You know, you stand on a woman, blah, 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 and you can knock another man, woman. Then I end up knocking him for a bra. And that's when I knew I had the game. But I was a Corvette. They was Cadillacs. They was too slow for me. So I ended up robbing a bank, you know, because that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to get me some quick money. And I got me some quick money. I also got some quick time, you know. Mm. And I ended up going to jail. And then, you know, I did again going to jail. Eventually, I met a brother by the name of Pimpin' Pope. And he told me the game on how to do it. He said, man, you got to, and it's psychology. He said, you got to have, you got to go get a triple bypass. He said, you can't have no sympathy in your heart. You got to have all the sympathy removed out your heart. He said, it's not a sympathetic game. And he was one of the biggest ones, but he had got caught with a brother, you know, that was messing with a girl. He shot him, you know, long and short. I don't put his business out there. But then that's when I really understood the game. So when I came home, you know what I'm saying, my man gave me a pack. I tried that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say who did it, but it was a family member. I gave him the pack, and he ran off with the pack.
Mm.
And I didn't know, you know, what was going on. I'm like, this my brother. Oh my God. I don't mean to talk about that, but if you can erase that. But, you know, he ended up, the person I'm talking about, they end up taking this stuff. And I said, I can't do this. Then a girl named C, I ain't gonna say her first name, and a girl named A, they got with me. And they taught me the game. But while I was in prison, my mama never came to see me. So that I was desensitized to those women again, because I was like, I was mad at my mother. So, you know, having no sympathy is a perfect mentality when you talk about being in the ism, right, in the game. So, you know, I came in the game with the right mindset, because you can't have no love in the game, because all the women belong to the community. They can be with you today and gone tomorrow. And a lot of people don't understand that. People got a misconception on prostitution. They think that the pimps, you know, what can you tell a woman, literally, bro, that's so immaculate, that's so cold, that makes her say, I'm going to go sell my body. Now, it's got to be by choice and not by force. She run past a fireman, she run past a policeman, and a cab, and she don't ask neither one of them to sell them, save her for pimping. You know, it's a mentality thing, and I found that out, that everybody was a part of this culture. So I was in their culture, then I got integrated in their culture, and then, you know, like I said, I love money, so when I got into game, I just took it to the next level. I started buying minks, diamonds, Rolls Royces, and that was the psychology. I said, if everybody's selling these bras to Dream, saying that, hey, you got to do this to be with me. Hey, you got to do this to be with me. I'm going to buy your Rolls Royce, I'm buy your cat, I'm buy your mint. Then I pull up with that. So I was the Dream. And that was my psychology, is to come with everything. And all my other partners, they was shooting blow and shooting heroin and effing their money up. And all the time they were doing all that, I was flashing and shining. And then that's how I became Pimpin' Ken. And then I started, you know, just getting into the culture. I started taking guys' bras and guys taking my bras. And it was just a lifestyle. And once I got totally ingrained to the lifestyle, I was determined to be Pimp of the Year. I was determined to be Mac of the Year. And I won all of that. When I won International Mac of the Year in Las Vegas, at that point, I said, I'm done. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I reached, it was like the NBA, what we call the NPA, the National Pimp Association. I was the 2-3, the Mac of Jordan of the game. So I got out, you know, when it was perfect timing, you know, and I just left the game alone. And I just went on and started opening up businesses and started doing other things. But that's really how I got into it. You know, just circumstances of events, you know, being around these people. Being, what is the odds of the pimp, the biggest pimp in Milwaukee, being your cellmate? You know what I'm saying? And giving you the game. What is the odds of a guy you hustling with, you know, end up with three bras? You know, so I never really, and a lot of dudes gonna hate me for saying, I really never liked it pimping like that. You know what I mean? I never liked pimping like it was too easy for me. You know, I like a challenge. You know, so that's why I got into corporate America. That's why I started signing artists, and that's why I started giving people book deals like Boosie and Ice-T. You know, and that's more where I'm at. I'm more like, I like mental stuff. I like to deal with the mind, you know, because I'm a Moorish American. You know, more science means more sense. You know, so even though I was out there in the streets, I was still reading the Moorish Quran. I was still reading, you know, Dr. Chancellor Williams. I was reading Dr. Ben. I was reading Malachi. I was reading, Dr. Naeem Akbar. I'm steady educating myself, but I'm out here in this mess, and I'm not really feeling it. You know, and dudes ain't on my level. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you talking to a dude, he can't even put two sentences together. You're like, man, you know, this ain't my element. So I had to get out of that element. And that's how I really kind of got into it. You know, you say, you know, the things that happened to me, you know, made me have a disdain toward women. But when I had my daughter, Kiki, at 31, I think I had her at 31 because I didn't have kids for a long time. I had my daughter. That's when I experienced real love. Mm. I said, oh, now I know what love is. And I just started treating her like an angel. I bought her bags and bags of clothes. You know, I spoiled her. She was with me everywhere I go. I was telling everybody this is my baby. And then I understood, you know, the value of love. And then I had to re-love, fall in love with my mother because I was so mad. You know, here I am. I think I'm a boss. Everybody getting visits. I'm not getting no visits. I'm mad. I'm like, you know, I'm dude. You know, all the dudes respect me in the joint. You know, I was the grand sheik. You know the grand sheik. I was the head dude, I was running the penitentiary, but I'm not getting no visits. And it made me upset. But after that, you know, I had to fall in love with my mother again. And then, you know, I just started having more daughters. I just fell in love with all my kids. And I really found out what love was, you know, from that perspective. And then I realized, you know, my mama's circumstances, but the only thing I held against her was the fact that she came to see my brother every other day while he was in prison, but then never
come
see me.
So why didn't she come and see you?
She said that she was tired of going inside that prison and your brother was the last one. You know, once because my brother went to jail, he got a false imprisonment, what they call it, a false charge. They said he robbed something that he didn't rob. He ended up getting 5 years. And so she came to see him all the time, but she didn't come to see me. And she said she was just tired of going up there, you know, she called that white man's hellhole and seeing my kids. She said it wasn't good for her. She said she'd get sick and throw up every time she leaves.
Peace Family is 19 Keys. Thanks for listening to the High Level Audio Experience. Make sure to give 5 stars and subscribe. Also, support the brand and get tickets to our upcoming tour by visiting 19keys.com/links. That's numbers 19keys.com/links.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.